just humbled because our online, you know, I love people coming to the church, but our online presence just continues to grow. I am just, it's crazy. Now listen, the people that are online are far outnumbering the people that are coming into the house. So guess what? People online, you need to come into the house to see what's going on in here. Yeah. We just want to welcome you all today. And I know you see a few extra screens here. The crazy pastor is at it again, right? We're hosting the 2020 East Central section of the Assemblies of God celebration meeting here on October 8th. Calvary Church, your pastor needs you to come. Your pastor needs you to come because we want to support our Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God. They have blessed us with the opportunity to host the event during COVID 2020, right? So there won't be a meal or whatnot, but I have been assured that the Calvary Cafe will be delivering the best coffee and the best food that you could ever ask for, right? And if they didn't know that, they do now. It's always good, right? We've got the best cafe. So we put some screens up on the sides so the people that, if they are on the sides of our sanctuary, we understand that because our configuration of our platform, that you cannot see the main screen. And your pastor even made it larger here with my good friend Bob Jones, who runs our sound up there. And we made the screen larger. We still couldn't see it too well from the side, so we decided to put some TVs up. We don't want to shortchange anybody that will come into our house not only on October 8th, but later. Why? Because God's got a vision much bigger than me and much bigger than you, that there's going to be people flooding into Calvary Church, especially when they're feeling comfortable, that the house will be full and I want them to see everything. And for a few bucks for some TVs, I figure, okay, God, that's what exactly what we'll do. So we threw up some TVs, and our good friend Bob Jones, again, threw up some more speakers on the side to give us some better sound, which I don't think are wired yet, but they'll be wired here in a week or two by October 8th for sure. So, you know, it's getting a little bit more techie. So if God's laying on your heart to be involved in these ministries at the church, and that's your calling, or that's your gift, or that's your leading, as we talked about last week, hey, guess what? That's what we do. Right? That's what we do. And we've been preaching and started this series on that's what we do as just believers. You know, we divided it up between, you know, the natural things that God gives us. You know, he gives us these things to do, and it's okay. It's your desires, your aspirations, the things you want to do in your private life. That's perfectly fine. God has no issue with that. But your pastor wanted to talk about, for the next few weeks, what we do in the spiritual, what God mandates, how God moves, and what he wants us to do. And, you know, we asked that question last week, you know, why do we do it? Why do we do it? And so I gave you the biblical explanation as to why. That's what we do, but why do we do it? And I told you, I said, this because God has gifted you. You have gifts that God doesn't want you to squander. You have gifts that I do not. I have gifts that you do not. We share some gifts. Many of you are good teachers, and many of you can preach. Many of you have gifts that I do not. I see things that happen around here that I just cannot do. And I thank the good Lord that there is somebody that does it for me. Because that's the body of Christ, right? That's the gifts. And you see really big gifts displayed on your platform at Calvary Church and online when you watch this worship team. Do you ever recall, if you have been in this church for a number of years, do you remember when we just didn't have this, right? Because there's people that showed up because we prayed them in and said, God, send us people that have the gifts that I do not have. My wife prayed more than anyone, I would assure you, to say, Lord, send me musicians, because she doesn't play all these instruments. But guess what? God is faithful. God is faithful, sending us people that have these gifts that I do not have. Now, for those that are praying for a more gifted preacher, you're just going to have to hold off. You're stuck with the layman, right? But I'm learning. I'm getting better, right? I'll do better for you. But we talked about how God leads us then. We talked about how he leads through his Spirit to do other things. So he gives us these gifts and whatnot. But then he leads us to do some things too, right? Have you ever been led by the power of God? We talked about how he has these decrees of leading, that you are just showing up someplace or doing something that you really didn't even consciously understand, but God placed you in the right place at the right time. Ever hear that? Right? Yeah, he placed you there. I hear this all the time. Well, God always has a purpose. Of course he does. And, you know, there's always a reason, right? God always, and that's the decree of the leading of the Spirit. There's always, God does it. Sometimes we are in this situation and we say, God, that's not me. There's no way that could be me. I don't have the ability to do that. Well, guess what? In the heavenlies, God ordained it, said, I order you there, and you didn't even know it, and God makes you, you know, that's what he does, right? That's what God does, and that's a decree and the leading of the Spirit. We talked about that. Then there's these directions that by the Spirit leads us, and directionally, the Bible spells those out, and I use the Ten Commandments last week as a directional leading. You know, he says, this is the direction you got to go. Don't do these things, and da-da-da-da, and the Spirit leads us not to do those things, and sometimes we slip up and we do some things we shouldn't do, and God delivers us. What a miracle that is. We just sang about that, right? What a miracle. I was dead, but now I'm alive, because that's what we do. God gives us those. We have discernment leadings, right? We talked about that. You know, we take the Word of God and we discern and how it applies to, is that my light's going out? But it applies to your very life, right? It applies to, you discern the word and how it applies to something that you got going on. Guess the answers are in God's word, and you just discern how it applies to the situation you're in. And that's called discernment. Don't get confused with the gift of discernment, because there's gifts, right? But this is just you taking the word of God because you're studying it, and you apply that to a situation, right? Then there's that big one, that declaration. And I said, hey, if God's done that for you, and someone gave me a call this week, and just like I asked for, and we discussed that on the phone, that was great. How God just, one of those big declarations, an angel shows up, or you have some type of situation that God just comes in, and you have these visions and all these things that God shows you and gives you this big declaration, this is where you're going to go, or this is what's going to happen. We talked about that. Then we moved to the third point, and the third point was, of the three, your calling, right? Why do you do what you do? You're called. Why do pastors do what they do? They're called, right? They're called to be pastors first, and they're called to location second. God calls us to be pastors or evangelists or teachers and whatnot, and then he calls you to locations, and sometimes he just says, hey, pick your location, but I'm calling you to pastor. I see that a lot in the 65 and older crowd, when they want to retire, but they still want a pastor. They're called down to Florida or Arizona, but they're still pastoring, right? But they're called. It's all right. But that's what happens. You as well. The people on the platform, called, I trust, right? Called to do what they do with their gifts. But you know, what happens when we want to do something, but we just don't know what to do? Now, what? You've been in there, right? We've been there. What we do when we don't know what to do? What do you do? I hear that all the time. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Right? Come on, you know exactly what that means. Most of you here have probably said that to one another or to me. I don't know what to do. You have heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon of all the things about what to do when you don't know what to do, right? Do I need to recite those to you? Patience, da-da-da-da, read the word and pray more. And of course, we do all those things. But here's a cute little story for you. It wasn't cute for me at the time, but I look back and I say, yeah, that's no big deal. You know, I remember when I was getting ready to graduate, we had graduation, really, and there's two of us at home, my brother and I, and single mom, right? And my brother, God love him, I love my brother, he's a very high performer in school. His younger brother, not so much, right? I was the younger brother, right? So he was the valedictorian, and I was the younger brother. That's okay. I was an athlete. He was valedictorian, right? So when you're in high school, you know, you're kind of cool, you know? The athletes kind of get the accolades, but really in real life, the ones that are valedictorians and the real smart ones probably get to go a little further, right? And that's kind of how I lived, you know, growing up. And that was just kind of the comparison. There's the brother, there's the younger brother, and that's me, and I'm the younger guy, and here's him, and da-da-da-da-da. But I remember at my graduation party hearing this for the really the first time that resonates in my life. What are you going to do now? You probably don't know what to do, is what I was told. That was from a relative. Now, trust me, I had things planned out. But there was this comparison thing going on between my brother and I. And I love my brother, and he was off on college on his scholarship to the school up north. Don't say it, you know. The Buckeyes start in a couple of weeks. I ain't saying that. Okay. The school up north, you know. And he had a scholarship up there, and they were just wondering, well, what's this younger one going to do? And that's when I got that question. So what are you going to do? And I had it all laid out. I had planned what I was going to do. And I shocked my relative because I said, well, I'm going to go to college. And the response was, you are? I said, yeah, I am. And I'm going to graduate college. You know, I'm going to go. And guess what? I done did, right? And I'd done more than that since then. So, you know, but it's kind of funny, but it really makes you think. It really kind of, and we've all been in those situations where, let's face it, we really don't know what we're going to do. And I just kind of want searching in the scripture, God, I understand that we have prayer and you have given us all these vehicles, but I needed just, I don't know. I wanted a little bit more than that. Not that that's not enough, but I just wanted to hear some more things. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? What next? After you do the prayer, after you do the, you know, in the Word, and you're doing everything that you know is right, and you go to class, you show up at Calvary Church at 10 o'clock, right on time, and you know we're going to do all these things, and what are you going to do when you read, and what's the next thing? Because some of us end up being in this state of, I don't know what to do, even after we do all these things. We're kind of there, right? Now, don't raise your hand, but I have been there a number of times in my life where I just didn't know what to do. So I couldn't get to, that's what we do. I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know the next step, right? You may be there right now. There may be somebody sitting here today saying, Pastor, that is me. The question I had was, why do some people encounter God quicker than others? Yeah. Why does God show up for this person and tell them faster than me? What am I doing different? Why am I not hearing like I should? And, oh, message after message and what, you know, but what is it? I take you to Acts 17, 28, and it reads like this. For in him we live and move and have our being. You know, Luke's writing. For we are indeed his offspring. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, well, let's just do it right now. Let's just give you the background of this right now. So here's Paul, and Luke's writing about Paul, and Paul's out there, and boy, this is really deep, but I'm just going to give you the highlights, right? So you know the church has been birthed, and it's moving forward at light speed, but here comes this new way of doing things. And here comes this guy, Paul. Used to be Saul, persecuting Christians and all that, and you know, he got transformation in his life and got saved, and you know, all the story of met Jesus on the Damascus Road and all those things, and he goes from being super, super bad to super, super good. So he's out there, and Luke's writing this letter in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, right? And he's out there saying, look at this guy. He's over in Greece, Athens, Greece, and he's trying to tell these people about this new way of doing things. In fact, I remember in the scripture, it's not going to be on the screen, but I remember in the scripture that there's some writings that says that he stumbled upon an altar or something that says to an unknown God. They didn't care. Idolatry was running rampant, right? Here comes this guy, as Luke writes. Here comes Paul showing up on the scene saying, wait, there's a new way. You really didn't know what to do before. You did exactly what somebody told you to do, and they had all this stuff going on in idolatry, right? And everything. But here comes this guy that said, I used to be over on this side, now I'm on this side, but let me tell you, I have something new for you. I know what you need to do. And then that scripture is really cool because, you know, he goes back to, you know, I believe it was 600 BC, before Christ, some poems that the Athenians really resonated with, some of their writings, right? The Greece writings and whatnot. So he goes back and he grabs a couple of those, and Luke writes it down because Paul recites it. And that's what you're reading right there. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. See, they didn't really understand back then who that was. Here comes this guy that shows up and says, I know who that is. And that's what that means. That's, they write some poems 600 years before the guy I know about shows up, and you think it's some idolatry, some, you don't know who it really is about. It's about the guy I'm about to tell you about. You don't know what you don't know. So he throws one of their poems in there that they understood. What's he doing? He's making this translation, this transformation from what they know back then, a poem, what they thought they understood, to really what it means today. And then they would say, wow, I get that. And then the second part says, for we are indeed his offspring. Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ, our offspring, the Lord thy God. We are truly created in his image. And he writes about it. And they had no idea. And he introduces it to them in that scripture. He says, you don't understand what you're doing, and you don't know why you're doing it. And I'm here to tell you who you're talking about and why you're doing it. And he used their own poems and recites them in God's word. And says, it's really the Lord Jesus Christ. And I met that guy, and let me tell you about him. That's what that means. Now that kind of stirs me, right? That kind of stirs me. It just really makes you think. He bridges the gap between what they thought they knew to what it really is now. God's on the scene in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening there. It's a basic statement was that God is the creator of everything in the world, and that he is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And the monument that they had there that time that says to an unknown God, the unknown God has now just been introduced to them. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who this man met face to face. Wow. That kind of stirs me. Kind of stirs me. Joyce Meyer says it like this: there is nothing I have an interest in doing if God is not first in my life. Nothing. I thought that was really cool. You know, I can't say I listen to Joyce Meyer a ton. My wife does. She sent me some stuff this past week, and she said, hey, look, listen to this. She has no idea what I'm preaching about. Hey, that's good. There's nothing I have an interest in doing. If God is not first in my life, Paul shows up. The Acts of the Apostles, Luke's taking it down, and all of a sudden Paul says, hey, listen, there's nothing you can do of interest unless you place the God that I am going to tell you about first in your life. I have the answer that you have been searching for. The thought goes like this: if we can trust God with our lives, we can trust him with our decisions. So when we don't know what to do, we're kind of lost. I know that I could just go right back to the basics. I understand there's prayer. I understand there's all these things. But there's a few points here I'm going to give you that really helped me out a lot. It really got me thinking of how I need to go from something that I'm just kind of stuck on. I don't know what to do. And now I do. And I could just imagine what they were feeling back in Greece, way, way, way back. And this guy shows up and they're doing all this stuff. And he comes up with this answer. What an answer it was. You know, we're still talking about that today. And we'll be talking about that answer forever till the Lord Jesus Christ returns, right? What a powerful thought. And guess what? It always comes back to Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. We are indeed his offspring. Now, I don't know about you, but that really, really is getting inside of me today. We are the offspring of the Lord thy God. No greater calling, no greater leading, no greater gift than what you're reading on the screen right now. You, Calvary Church, are the offspring of the Lord thy God. Give him praise, because that's who we are today, right? Wow. Yes, thank you. So if we're his offspring, shouldn't we really be trying to figure out what he's thinking? So my kids do all the time, right? When they're little and now they're adults, what's dad thinking? What's dad really thinking? Right? Your kids, that's what you know. What's mom thinking? What's dad thinking? It's like this game. I remember them growing up. It was always a game trying to figure out what mom and dad's thinking, right? So they didn't know. And sometimes they didn't care what we were thinking. They'll just do their own thing, right? But other times, a lot of times, they really want to know what we're thinking so they don't mess up, right? We appreciate that, the kids, especially when they get older, right? So here we are, God's offspring, and I'm thinking, what's he thinking? God, what are you thinking about everything that we've done here? It's a vision. What's the next step? God, what are you thinking? I want to know what God is thinking. If I am lost and I'm not sure where I'm going and I'm kind of stuck and that's what we do and I just don't know what the next step is, I want to know what God's thinking. Yes, we pray, we're doing all those things, but I'm going to do some more things to find out what God is thinking. That's what we're talking about today. And then I remember the scripture in Matthew, and it's not going to be on the screen, in Matthew 7. I use this a lot because it just resonates with me. It goes like this. It goes, ask, seek, knock, right? You got to ask, right? This is the basis. We've talked about this before. You got to ask. But it's wonderful when it says ask, then it'll be given to you. It says seek, and then you'll find it. And then it says knock, and the door will be open. It can't get any simpler than that, church. Pastor, I have done that, and I still don't know what to do. Yeah. I was saying, my wife knows this saying, I said, if we don't know, we do nothing. Right there. If we don't know what to do yet, we do nothing. Right? We sit tight. I have this other saying that we do. I said, sometimes God then motivates me to start to investigate his will. There's the action. There's some things right now I'm just sitting tight on. There's other things where I'm investigating God's will. Right? Those are the two things. And today, I'm going to teach you those things. I could see Paul showing up, telling them all about this stuff that they didn't know. They were lost, and I know you're not lost. Many of you, if not all of you, are believers today, and I pray that those that are watching us online today are believers as well. If you're not, just keep listening. I'm going to give you wonderful direction this morning. I'm going to give you direction that I believe will be changing your life, life-changing direction. So here's where we go. Just a few points. I'm going to take you, the first one is, I'm going to take you back to school. Oh, right? Back to school. Let's go back to school. How many love school? My daughter's going to raise her hand and she's going to flag me like this. Look at that. Amber says, I love school. You know, some of us love school, some of us don't. Some of us are professional students, some of us are not. And some did really well in school, and some didn't do so well, and da-da-da-da-da, it doesn't matter, right? God still loves us all the same, right? John says, no, I don't like school, right? You're going back to school today, though. Because we need to learn just a little bit. Psalm 86 through 11. David, my buddy David, from a shepherd boy to a king. From a saint to a sinner to a bigger saint, David, right? He says this, you've read this before, I love it. 86:11, teach me your way, means teach me your decisions. I want to know. I want to know. So I'll ask you, Lord God, I'll seek God, and then I'll knock on the door, God, because I need to know. And he writes it down. Teach me, Lord. I need to know. Then once you do start to teach me, I will walk in the truth. Now, that means because David had some problems with some enemies. How many knew that David had some enemies out there, right? And then he recognized in the scripture, when he wrote it down, he has enemies, the Bible talks about. You do the research, you know. And then he has some frailty. He had some problems inside. Boy, that sounds like me. That sounds like you. That's where I wrote it, right? God, I got some enemies after me, and I'm no perfect person. But if you teach me some things, I'll walk in that truth. I'll still have some enemies out there, I'm sure. I'll still be a frail person because I just am. But guess what? I will be walking in the truth, which is what that means. I recognize I got some enemies, okay? I recognize that I'm not the perfect person. I make mistakes. He sinned. You know, he had a relationship he should not have had, right? But just teach me this stuff, Lord. Teach me. So I look at that word teach. I say, wow, we've read this scripture so many times. Lord, what does that mean? Teach me about you. Teach me about saving me from my enemies. Teach me about my natural frailness. Sometimes we just need to be a student to get to know what we don't know. Sometimes we need to be a student, teach, right? That's what that means. You got to learn something to start figuring out what you don't know. And let me give you the example. And I hope I don't hear this after church today. But my youngest is doing that right now. Brennan, my son. I don't mean to pick on your boy. He's like, I don't care, Dad. You know, what's the difference? You do it at home, you do it here, I don't care, right? That's what he's doing. He's become a student to learn. Why? He's my example. Because he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So he doesn't move out to go do something until he figures out what God wants to teach him. And so he's in the learning process. He is now going back to school. It's not Kent State University. It's not da-da-da-da-da-da. But it's a school with the Lord thy God, because God has something to teach you. And that's why David wrote it. I don't understand, God. I got all these external situations. In fact, when you do the research, it's external and internal is what it means. I got external. Some of those external things were enemies. He says, I got internal problems inside of me. I had to work those things out. He says, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Help me get through. That's exactly what my son's doing. And then it comes back to the prayer, the word, and seeking and knocking and all those things. And that's what he's doing right now in his life. Pastor, everybody should do that, of course. He's at that stage, and we're at this stage, and everyone's at different stages, and different points of their life. David's at this stage, right? He's a student. Listen to this. Here's a great thought for you. Pay attention. Teaching may take some time. Teaching may take some time. That's why you don't know what to do. We haven't learned it yet. You can't do what you don't know. David asked the Lord thy God to teach him because David didn't know what to do. And so he's in a learning process, just like my boy. He's in a learning process. You can't do it until you know it. You can't know it until you learn it. So David goes to the Lord thy God, says, Lord, teach me, take me back to school. And God says, okay. But I'm the one who holds the school, right? So he goes back to school. That's exactly what happens to us. Now you're starting to figure out why there's waiting periods. So really, when you read in the Word, it says wait and all those things, and well, I'm so tired of waiting, Pastor. I'm so tired of waiting, you know. What are you supposed to be doing during the wait? Being taught by the greatest master teacher of all, and you're supposed to go back to school and learn. What am I supposed to learn? Whatever God needs to teach you. Whoa, now that's good preaching. I don't care what you say. That's good preaching. Here's another thought for you. Our natural desire may not be bad, but they may not be the best at the time. I want to do this, Pastor. This is what I feel, God. It might not be exactly what you're supposed to do. It's okay to have these natural aspirations and desires. I talked about that last week, right? But it might not be exactly at the right time that you think it is. That might not be the best time. Then you wonder why it doesn't happen. Why? Because God's got you in the palm of his hand. He has the map all laid out, which you're going to see here very shortly. And then you're wondering why it's not happening. It's not happening because God says it's not going to happen yet. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means this isn't the best time for it. So David says, teach me, Lord. Then teach me it. And what's that process look like? Teach me, Lord. Wow, that's just, we don't like to be in that situation too long. Right? We don't want to be stuck there too long. So we go back to school, so we're learning something, right? Here's the second point. We're learning something, but if you want to be figuring out what you don't know, you got to go to this second thing. Here it goes, right? It goes, you got to be a seeker of purpose receptivity. Oh, man, that's right. I told you a week ago, we're going to be learning some things in the next few weeks. You've got to seek purpose receptivity. What in the world does that even mean? I can see them online now, just going up to get coffee. Now, they just left the TV screen. They want them to get coffee. So, I don't know. That's just too much, right? It means your willingness to accept new ideas and new direction is what it means. Your willingness to be taught back to school, to learn something new in a new direction, means a purpose receptivity. I will receive a new direction. I will be taught something new. I'm okay with that. That's what school is all about, church. It is all about a new purpose and being receptive to something different. How many in this room had gone to school and they are not doing what they went to school for? And my wife will raise her hand, right? Yep. My wife went to school for marriage and family counseling. She tells me what's wrong with me all the time, right? So, and then she looks at me, she says, I am an expert at this, so you have to listen. So I listen, right? She doesn't really tell me. You know that she doesn't do that. I went to school to go to the FBI. Now I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ at Calvary Church, right? Right. Thank you. Purpose receptivity. It's okay to have dreams and aspirations, and I went to school to do that exact same thing, but I flunked the eye test for the FBI back in the day. I said, okay, God, if that's not it, what is it? Teach me your ways. What is it? So you got to be receptive. Got to be receptive. Proverbs 19:21, many are plans in the minds of men, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The natural and the spiritual come together. This is what I wanted to do. This is what I thought. But God says, wait a second, there's something over here. What's going to take precedent? Thought for you. It's not necessarily that our plans are wrong. It wasn't that my plans were wrong. But they don't take precedent over God's purpose. It's okay to have plans and aspirations and dreams, but guess what? When God takes me back to school, he says, oh, wait a second, it's okay to have that. And guess what God gave me? He gave me both. He gave me both. It was okay. Businessman that did ministry, now a minister that does business, and what was I, you know, God gave me both. I couldn't get in the FBI. It wouldn't, I don't know, I guess you got a C to get in there, I don't know. You got a C better than what I did, and back then they couldn't do the cut up on my eye or whatever. So God gave me both. I built a business, right? My plan. I still want that plan, God. My purpose is over here. How do we merge those things together? Teach me that, God. So he does. So he teaches me that. So I built a investigation business in the private sector that contracted to the government. And then I did ministry for years. And boy, did God bless it. So I was an undercover special agent. You know that by now, right? Contracted to, well, I'm not going to say that. But anyways, you know, yeah, get me in trouble now, right? And God says, during this training time, this is the ministry you have. So guess what I got? And he taught me all that over the years. Years. So my plan's over here, and his purpose is over here, and he merges them together, and what happens? God is in the midst. It's not necessarily that our plans are wrong, but they just don't take precedent over God's purpose. So how do you put this all together as I teach you this? Step three, you got to be a step seeker. I was a step seeker, and I didn't even know it at the time. I was a step seeker. Here's what a step seeker does. It's possible to get to God's purpose through multiple roads, is a step seeker. I got to God's purpose today, right here, through a different road than I ever thought possible. I was called to the ministry in college, my junior year. My senior year, as I graduated, I flunked the eye test. But God had called me my junior year. I flunked my senior year. He gave me a year to learn. Teach me your ways, O Lord. And the transformation and transition started. And that took place for years and years and years because I was a step seeker. I walked it. I never gave up on the plan that I wanted to do in life, but God's purpose was higher than that. So we merged them together in my steps. My steps were, I started here, and over time, he developed me as the minister, the purpose that he called me to do, right? And over time, he wound down this over here, and in 2007, a company showed up and bought it from me. And the transformation started bigger. And in that same year, the Assemblies of God called me, the same year, called me and said, Pastor, I'd credentialed in 1999. He said, Pastor, we have this new program called the Interim Pastoral Ministry Program to help churches go through transition in ministry. Brand new program in 2007. They asked me to be one of the first ministers in the program. I just sold my business. No more contracting to the government, no more undercover this, no matter that, And they said, here's what we want you to do. And God says, here's the purpose. And your plan was fine, and you did great. But now here's the purpose. The same year, I was a step seeker. Step by step. See, we live in this society today, church, that says, I gotta have it now. It's taken me a lifetime to stand before you. I'm a step seeker. I'm a step seeker. And I'm going to seek every single step because God says that's exactly how we learn because he takes you back to school. Watch how this unfolds. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps, the Bible says. The heart of man, my heart said I was going to be an undercover special agent. That's really cool. Hey, come on. You know that's cool, right? Come on. That's so cool. I did the coolest stuff. That was my plan. but the Lord established my steps to a purpose as you watch me today. Do I miss that? Yeah, it's pretty cool. I miss that. But yeah, I did some pretty cool stuff. I did some pretty dangerous stuff too. Would I go back? No. No, those steps are gone, right? Those steps are gone. We go to great lengths to plan our lives, but the Lord alone determines whether those plans will ever come to pass. And God will marriage those thoughts and desires and plans that you have with his purpose. It's not this blanket thing that says you can't have some of your stuff that you want to do. No, that's not the way it is. God blessed me with the greatest things and then gave me the best thing. Purpose. Because I'm a step seeker. Thought for you. Sometimes we made our plans using our best judgment. Your pastor did that, right? And we can fully intend to follow through, so we'll get what or where we think is best. But when we ask God to establish our steps and we're a step seeker, we're asking him to determine how that plan unfolds. We give up and say, God, just establish my steps. I'll be the step seeker. That means you establish the steps and I'll seek it. I'll take it. Teach me how to do that, Lord. I'm a step seeker. Your pastor's a step seeker. That's exactly what I did. And that's exactly how God did it. And that's exactly why I ended up here today. That's exactly how it works. You got to be a step seeker. And God will establish them right in front of your eyes. The funny part about it is, I had no idea at the time it was actually happening. But as I look back now, I look at it and say, wow, I never would have been able to do what I do today, the way I do it, if God wouldn't have gave me these steps. See, we want that really fast stuff, right? We just got to have that, and we got to have it today, right? The world tells you that's what we get. A natural process working in conjunction with the supernatural intervention is how you figure out what you don't know what to do. See, God has it all figured out already. He's just waiting for us to execute. Right? I'm going to ask our music team to come forward at this time as we wrap up, because I got a few questions I want to ask you before we leave. You know, going back to school is tough. Because what we're really saying is, I need to learn some more stuff. I'm in school right now. My daughter's in school right now. My son's a student learning things, right? I don't know if my daughter will ever quit school. Like, really, normal school, right, college. She loves it. She's a learner. She's what I call a lifelong learner. It's great. Dad's in school, taking college classes. Just back to school, right? Back to school. Seeking this purpose receptivity. God, just continue me on this thing and establish these steps, and I'm a step seeker. Keep me going in this direction. You know, it's turned out better than I ever thought. It's turned out better than I thought. This plan that I didn't see unfolding like it has unfolded is turning out much better than I ever dreamed, and I didn't even realize that God was in the midst like he has been all along. And you're sitting here today thinking God's not in that, like, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. You may be watching online saying, that's not the way it is for me, Pat. That's exactly what's going on today. Go back to school, right? Start to learn, teach, start, God, what do you got to do? Take me back to school to help me to learn what I don't know. Why does he want us to do that? Because that's what we do. That's what he asked us to do, right? So let me ask you just a couple questions as you wrap up today. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do? Okay. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Well, I just gave you the three big points. Let's go back to school and say, Lord, teach me. Now, here's a problem. Here's the problem. Some of us are not real teachable. And it takes longer. That's me. So he takes me back to school. I say, teach me, Lord God. I'm not real teachable. I tell God what to do instead of listening for what God wants me to do. I got to stay in school a little bit longer. It's going to take longer. I failed the first class. I'm not as teachable. I end up telling God what I want to have taught to me instead of listening for what the Bible says is the soft-spoken voice that's going to explain to me what needs to be taught to me so I can learn it. Okay, God, it's taken me a lifetime to learn this concept. Church? I got it. I say today, Lord, teach me. I'm listening, and it's not my way, it's your way. Teach me. I'm good with that. It's taken a long time to get there, right? So I've decided to be teachable. The second thing was seek purpose receptivity. Many are plans in the minds of man, but it's the purpose of God that will stand and prevail. Now, are you willing to accept something new? Is what that means. Are you willing to accept new direction and something different from God than what you have today? Reason we get stuck and we don't know what to do is because we're not willing to be receptive to something new. So God tries to teach us something new, and we're not receptive to it, so we're stuck on second point. Guess what? School stays longer. David said, teach me. The reason he said that is because I got some problems on the inside, and I got some problems on the outside. Teach me. Then I will walk in the truth. That wasn't, I will walk in obedience. That's not what that means. It means I'll walk in the truth because I will know what it is now. Because you taught me. That's what that means. Now I'll know what the truth is. Because you have taught me the truth. And I will listen this time. We can't learn the truth in church at 10 o'clock to 11:30 on the Sunday mornings and then go out into the world and represent something completely different than the truth. God says you will do it this way and you will honor me. You will do these things and you will be a representative. You will be a missionary. You will do the things that I need you to do. But you can't do that on a Sunday morning and then walk out into the world and use vile language and vile thoughts and vile actions. God says, no, back to school. Back to school. Or you can't say, no, God, I'm not going over there. I'm not going to help that person. I'm not going to do these things. I'm not receptive to seeking this new purpose or this new assignment. Back to school. He takes us back. You know, here's where I really learned. I learned that I can't fight against the creator of the heavens and the earth. Teach me your ways, O Lord. I'm listening. I'm walking in it. Then there's a third point, right? Be a step seeker. The heart of Pastor Brad plans his way. That's what it says, right? put your name in there. But the Lord established my steps to get there. However, are you accepting and letting God determine how it works out? I did not. I have learned today to do that. That's what establishing the steps means. I will allow God to determine what the outcome is. I will not force the outcome. I still struggle because sometimes it's just not what I want. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what's best for us. Church, stand with me. We're to close in the prayer. I believe I've got the right group here today. I believe that you're willing to go back to school. I believe that you are receptive to something new and you're willing to do it. And I believe you're a step seeker. Steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It doesn't say the steps and plans of Pastor Brad are ordered. It says God will order what I need to do. And why is that an order? We talked about that last week. Go back and listen. See, they all come together. Let's bow our hearts and let's commit. Today as a church and online as you're watching, let's commit today to find out what we don't know and walk and live in accordance with not only the plan God laid on our heart for us, but the purpose he's driving us to. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you have taught me. I thank you, God, that you've taken me back to school to learn things that I don't know, but it's all biblical things based on your word, Father. Thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to have me be receptive for your purposes for my life. I thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that I'm just going to let you order my steps. You're going to establish my steps, and I thank you for that. Lord God, if there is somebody here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior to do all these things, if there is somebody here that needs to know the Savior of the world like I know, needs to be taught these things and needs to be receptive for purposes, needs to be steps to be ordered, just doesn't understand what that is you today. I am going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand. I am not going to embarrass you. I am not going to call you down front. I just am going to pray. So if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior like I know him, and he has done all these wonderful, miraculous things for my life, if that is you today, just shoot your hand straight up in the air so I can pray with you. Is there anybody here? I'll give you another moment. Father, thank you. You have ordained the house. You have blessed us. You have kept us. And now, Lord God, you will send us out to do exactly what you're ordering us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give him a hand today and thank the good Lord. Church, we love you. We love you dearly. We'll see you next week at 10 o'clock. Calvary Cafe opens at 9 o'clock. Don't forget, September 30th, we're going to be Wednesday night back here with our children's programs. Have yourself a wonderful week. God loves you, and so do I.